into the hospital to see Bill, and Wednesday I've got things going, and it was just, and then I found out Peggy Sims passed away, and it was just one thing after another after another. Friday we did Glenn's funeral, and then I had something right after it I rushed to, and Saturday, y'all know I do the little kids' birthday party stuff, and that was the weekend before Halloween. Apparently everybody wants to have their festival or the thing, so I was going nonstop, and knew I had this morning to go, and Rebecca just looked at me and she said, "Did you take a day of rest this week?" I said, "No." I said, isn't that sad to get up here and preach about taking a day of rest, taking that seriously, ministering from the overflow, and then the very next week, I just let it go by. Don't let that happen. Put that into your life. Make it, be intentional about it. Well, today, you know, in that busy week, I told Jerry on Friday, I said, "Jerry, I'm in a little bit of trouble." I said, I've had two or three ideas of where I wanted to go this week, and I said, "God just hasn't really said anything." I said, I think I've got next week planned, but I said, this week, I'm struggling. And it's Friday, and she wanted to put it in the bulletin, and I said, "Well, we're just going to have to wait," because I said, hopefully God's going to give me a direction for this sermon. And in the strangest way, I'm driving one of the kids home, I think, and I turned down, gosh, I think it was Smith Street, that road that kind of runs into the middle school up there. And I look to my left, and somebody, and it might be you, I don't know who lives there, but somebody has their entire front yard full of these Halloween mannequins. Have y'all seen this house? My first thought was, wow. You know, I was going, that's impressive. I mean, there must have been 30 of these things. You know, there's witches and there's demons and there's things crawling out of graves, and you know, they've got the spider webs going. That was my first thought. And then my second thought was, wow, how we celebrate evil on Halloween. And you know, and like I said, today isn't going to be a sermon of don't have Halloween. I mean, that's your choice, that's your decision. I know some people are way against Halloween, some people are way for it. You know, I'm probably in the middle somewhere. But at that moment, when I looked at that yard and I said, why do we celebrate demons? You know, why is that a thing? I was going, we don't celebrate other evil things. You know, even in Halloween, we don't celebrate cancer. You know, we don't celebrate child abuse. We don't celebrate, you know, spousal divorce. We don't celebrate bad, evil things, except on Halloween and the spiritual evil things that we kind of just celebrate. And once again, if you've got demons out in your yard right now as decorations, I'm not telling you to put them down. Here's the point I wanted to make. The point I wanted to make is the reason we don't celebrate those other evil things is because we feel they're real. We know someone that's been divorced. We know someone that's been abused. We know someone that's dealing with some horrible sicknesses. And we wouldn't make fun of that because that's real. Now, here's the point I want to make. I think the reason that we allow ourselves to celebrate the spiritual evil things is because there's part of it in us that we don't really think that's real. We kind of think, well, hey, I know the Bible talks about demons. I know it talks about Satan. But, you know, I don't really physically see that all the time. And therefore, I feel comfortable just kind of making a joke about it. Little red guy with a pitchfork and some horns on his head. So today what I want to do is I just want to talk about that unseen fight that we're in of spiritual warfare. I want us to just discuss it for a little while. Now I know some of you are going, oh, this is going to be a weird one. It might be. Okay, it might be. I'll go ahead and tell you. It might be. But we're going to look biblically. What does the Bible say about the unseen battle that we have going on with the forces of evil? Now, I think to get a good understanding of demons, we'll talk a little bit about demons today and of stuff like that. First, let's talk about the good part. Let's talk about the good part of spiritual warfare. How many of y'all believe in miracles? Yeah, isn't that great? You know, here's what most of us think. I believe that God does miracles. I just wonder if he'll do them for me. All right, you know, sometimes we kind of got this idea, I feel like God could do it. In fact, I think a problem a lot with our society today is we misdiagnose things as miracles. You know, sometimes we forget what a true miracle is. You ever gone into like HEB or something, driving up there, and all of a sudden a parking place opens up on the front row? It's a miracle! No, it's not a miracle. Somebody just came out of HEB at the same time that you were going. Yeah, I did this yesterday. I was at a Party City. You know, it's just right over there. I was trying to run in to get something real quick, and I come up this aisle, and there's a car sitting there. And what I notice is a guy has come out of Party City with his keys. And he's clicking his keys, and the second car, second spot closest to Party City, the lights are going, doo, 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 doo. So that guy knows that guy's coming out, unlocking that door. And so he stops right in the middle of the way. And I just kind of go, ah. I see a way that to kind of get around him, and I get around him. And then, I go, that's just so weird. He's just going to sit there. So I took a full loop down the next one. And I noticed as I was going down there, I was going, what? You know, because I was so interested in him, I didn't even notice there was an open parking space right behind him. And so I circle all the way back around, come up behind him again, pull into the parking place, get out of my car, go all the way to the door of Party City and look back. And that guy had finally got there, got his stuff in the car, and was pulling out, and the other guy was pulling in. I'm going, oh, that's a miracle. Look, you had to wait an extra 5 minutes on that thing. Now, it's not a miracle when you get a parking place. Now, if you pulled into HEB and the parking lot was completely full, and as you pulled in, all the cars parted, that's a miracle. Let me give you a definition. A miracle is when God in heaven intervenes supernaturally here on earth. When God in heaven intervenes supernaturally here on earth. Miracles are to build our faith up. When we believe in a miracle, suddenly we have more faith, we have more trust. We'll see that miracles can happen, but they are it's when there's nothing else that can happen. When you see that naturally there's no way out of a situation, and suddenly God intervenes. Let me ask you right now, how many of you in your own life or in your family's life right now need God to supernaturally intervene? Yeah, I think we all do. I think we all either in our own personal life, our health, our finances, or in one of our family's life, that we need a miracle from God. We need something supernatural. And I'm afraid that we are so about supernatural things that we're missing out on the opportunity to allow supernatural things to happen in our life. In the Bible, when it talks about miracles, there's really four miracles it talks about. There's miracles of healing. They're miracles of protection, like when you're in a bad situation and God just protects you. There's miracles of provision, when all of a sudden there's no food for the crowd and suddenly there's food for everyone. And the last one is the one we're going to talk about today. There's miracles of deliverance. Deliverance. Now that's the one that's least talked about. It's a little bit creepy. we're not sure it's real. So let's get into it just a little bit today. That as we go into this Halloween time, in fact, I'm kind of glad it's coming up Halloween. Because what I want you to do is every time this week when you see some kind of demon, I want you to remind you about what the Bible says about demons and how that could be affecting you or someone in your life. So let's dive into this real quick. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing the world he doesn't exist. If we get to that point where we go, man, I can fix this. It doesn't matter that there is a spiritual warfare going on. Satan says, man, if I can get you just to not believe in me. But here's what the scriptures say. Ephesians 6:12. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul says this. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle isn't against that person that makes us angry. Our struggle isn't against those physical things like financial things or troubling things or even sickness. That's not what our struggle is against, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the power of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. He said, listen, I got to make sure you understand this. It feels like you're battling a physical battle here on this earth. But truly, there is a whole nother battle going on above it. And that's what we really need to be concerned about. You know, why this life is just temporary. Whatever we're facing here It's just a flash compared to that eternity, which is a spiritual thing. And so he says, we need to focus on this. We need to understand that there are rulers, there are authorities, there are powers of the dark world, and it's against those spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms that our struggle comes from. So let me ask you this, what is a demon? What is a demon? You know, a lot of people think this. They think a demon is, basically kind of a bad person who's died, and they kind of become a demon. Like, you know, my Uncle Bill, he was a horrible person. When he died, obviously he became a demon. You know, that's not it. You know, what the Bible tells us about demons, especially in Revelation 12, it's kind of interesting if you read Isaiah 14 also. We talk that in Isaiah and in Revelation 12, we hear the battle of Satan. Satan was an angel. He was a creature of worship. And in Isaiah, we see he makes, I think it's five I will statements saying, basically, I will be like God. I will become more than God. And in Revelation, we find a third of the angels followed Lucifer. And in that fall from heaven of these heavenly angels, as God expelled them from heaven, we think that those angels are what we now call demons. There's one devil, one Satan, many demons. Kind of like what we see angels are to God, I guess you could say demons are to Satan. He uses them to go out to do different things. We'll talk about that in a minute. So when we talk about these authorities, these powers, realize, you know, that's what we're dealing with. Now we have two mistakes that happen a lot of times when we talk about demons in the church. You'll find this. One mistake is we overemphasize demonic influence. Now, you know those churches. You've probably seen some of those pastors on TV. You've met people like that. You've worked with people, and they've kind of turned you off. They see a demon under every rock, you know, because I said, I don't have any money. I am broke because there's demons in my life. And you want to go, no, you're broke because you spent all your money, you know, on clothes and on a vacation and on that new car you didn't really need. You know, there's, and you kind of look, and they say everything in their life is happening because of demons. And I want you to hear, that's not true. We have our own ability to do things that are against God. There isn't a demon in every situation. A demon didn't make you eat the whole thing. You did that on your own. Okay? Now, we'll talk in a minute that demons can influence in certain situations. They find our weaknesses. But too many people overemphasize. And they're the ones that just go around like that really turn you off. But the other problem is that one mistake is we underemphasize demonic influence. And I'm afraid that's the way it is in the Baptist church. We're so scared that we're going to be called holy rollers, you know? We're so scared that if we start practicing any spiritual gifts that, you know, because we've seen it go bad, right? But because of that, we overreact and we just say, hey, you know, we're just going to pray for you. You know, we're not going to mention what it really, in fact, we don't even believe that. We underemphasize demonic influence. Not every problem is a demon, but listen to this. More problems must be realized that they're caused by forces of darkness. More problems must be realized that they are caused by forces of darkness. Listen, not everything is, but some is. And if we throw out the some, because not everything, and we see someone else talking about everything is caused by demons, then suddenly Satan wins, right? He's convinced us that he doesn't exist. So we have to say that there are some things. So what do demons do? Demons tempt you to sin. Demons tempt you to sin. If we go to 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, let's start in 25. In 25, chapter 2, verse 25 says, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth. So it says, listen, church, you know, when someone comes against you, work with them gently. Because they need time to realize about this truth. But watch what it says in 26. when you work with them gently and give them time, it says, and that they will come to their senses, and watch this, and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. You see, Satan can't make you sin, but the Bible describes it as trapping you, putting you in position for you to be weak. This is what we were talking about, rest, right? You know, when you're full of the Spirit, when you're overflowing, can I tell you, temptations aren't a trouble? But when you start letting yourself get lower and lower and weaker, and then what happens is Satan sets a trap for you. It's a late night, and you're in front of the computer. You and your husband had a fight, and a worker at work says some really nice things about you. There's some financial issues that suddenly you see a loophole that may not be morally correct, but you're tired, and you don't have that spiritual fullness in you. And so Satan lays that trap. He tempts you through his demons to do this. Some things a demon might do is in your ear somewhere, in your brain, that voice that you can barely hear. You deserve that. It's okay to watch that. It's okay to smoke that, drink that, shoot that. Take it. You won't get caught. No big deal. Everyone else is doing it. You see, we want to say there's no demons. And so when those thoughts start coming into our mind, instead of going, in the name of Jesus, get out of my mind, because we don't believe there's a spiritual warfare going on, we just ignore it. And listen, it's a big trap. And if you just ignore a trap, that doesn't mean it's not going to go off on your leg, right? You have to be ready and intentional about it. And so the crazy thing is that, you know, as the demons are telling you deserve it, go ahead, do that. You know what happens? They change once you do it. And now it's, how could you have done that? God wouldn't love you if you're doing stuff like that. It's that trap. There's no way out of it. So the first thing that demons do is they don't cause you to sin, but they tempt you to sin. Demons distract you from God's will. Demons distract you from God's will. We'll go over one book to 1 Timothy. And here, writing to Timothy, he says in chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith. And what does it say after that? And follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Listen, if you don't think there's spiritual warfare, go ahead and pull that page and give it a rip. Because here's what Paul said. He said, let me be clear. He said, I don't want you to come back and say, hey, do you really mean that? He said, the Spirit clearly says that some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, in a big sense, I mean, we talked about this about 3 weeks ago, about how there's religions out there that, you know, they kind of say, oh, you know, Christianity's right, but also Muslims are right. Well, also Buddhists are right. Also Hindus are right. And suddenly, these lies start coming out. And while we're trying to be focused on God, all these lies start coming into our ears. There's a spiritual warfare. You know, on a smaller sense, I think even in our church, we're here and we're trying to listen to God, and all of a sudden, you know, not a theological distraction, but suddenly you get sideways with somebody in this church. And instead of being able to hear the Word of God and read the Word, your mind starts going to that problem you're having with that person. Or maybe it's the music, or maybe it's the preaching. Or maybe it's the youth ministry. Or maybe it's the administration. I don't know how that throws anybody off. But there's something. I just didn't want to leave you out, Eric. Something goes on in the church. And here's where your focus is supposed to be. You're supposed to be going, God, how can you fill me up? How can I take what I learned here and take it out into the community and do something for you? And as you're trying to do that, all of a sudden the demons come in and go, boy, doesn't that person, why'd they say that? Why did they say it like that? What did they really mean when they said that to you? And suddenly, where you were following God's will, you're now distracted. And once again, I'm not saying every time that happens it's a demon, but the Spirit clearly says that in later times we will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Maybe not every time, but shouldn't we at least say that might happen? The third thing we'll see about demons is demons inflict suffering. Demons inflict suffering. Over in Matthew chapter 17, we'll look at verse 15. Matthew 17, verse 15 and on, it says this. It says, the Lord have, this is a time when a man has brought his son to Jesus. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Now watch what Jesus says. He said, you unbelieving and perverse generation. Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Here's what happened. Jesus, they brought the boy to the disciples. Now, as I said while ago, not every sickness is a demon. Not every mental illness is a demon. Not every seizure is demon related, but some may be. If you don't agree with that, you have to rip that page out of your Bible. Okay? I mean, I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Some maybe. And when they came to the disciples, much like us, at that point were kind of going, he's just sick. You know, let's pray just for healing. And all of a sudden Jesus said, haven't you heard anything I've said? There is a spiritual warfare going on. Am I just going to have to be here with you always? Or are y'all going to grab this point that I gave you authority over the darkness? And then he cast the demon out. Now, once again, I want you to hear me. Not every sickness is a demon. But as a Christian, we have to allow that to be an option. We have to. Demons, I mean, Jesus's, his ministry, and we see it in here, is to heal, to encourage, to go after the lost, to go after the sick. His mission is to free people. But what's Satan's mission? John chapter 10 says, Satan's mission is to steal, to kill and destroy. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's actually a spiritual force whose main thought is, how can I steal? How can I kill? How can I destroy? Why is that Satan's main thought? Because Satan wants to do whatever he can to hurt God. And who does God love? God loves his church. God loves his children. And Satan says, I can't get to God, but I can get to those kids. And then suddenly we see just an over and over again in the church, people suffering with depression, people sitting with suicidal thoughts, people struggling with desperation. We see destroyed marriages, ruined testimonies, wrecked finances. We get our joy stilled. Our health is obliterated. Ooh, I said that wrong word. Never mind. Our health is destroyed. Our children are crushed. It's not a game. Too many times, we think it's a game. We think of the little red guy with the horns and the pitchfork. We think of the demons coming out of that guy's yard on Smith Street. What God is telling us is there is a real battle going on, and there's a real enemy that wants to destroy us. What do we do about it? Well, here's the big takeaway. If you're going to write anything down, write this one down. You have miraculous authority over darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. We'll get a few more amens. You have miraculous authority over darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We aren't fighting with our power. We're fighting with Christ's power. Now, what does authority mean? I heard a preacher say this. I love this example. He said he was driving along in a truck one day, a big semi-truck. And he said he looked on the side of the road, and there was a police officer holding up his hand like this, right? And he said, I had a choice to make. He said, that police officer didn't have in himself the ability to stop my truck. He couldn't have jumped in front of my truck with his strength and just pushed like this and stopped the truck. Why should I stop for this policeman who's simply holding up his hands? And he said, the reason I stopped is because he had a badge on. And that badge represented his authority. And if I denied his authority, then I was going to have to deal with a higher power. It wasn't his power I was worried about. It was the higher powers that his authority came from. And guys, that's a picture of us. You don't have the ability to stop darkness. You don't have the ability to fight Satan of yourself. But you were given authority. In Matthew 10:1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave him authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. There is authority. Now, first time I was raised Baptist. You know, I was raised in this kind of world. We love God. We love Jesus. We want to talk about that part. But I remember I was working at a summer camp in Mobile, Alabama, kind of where Sam's going to school now. And we had had like 8 weeks of students there at the summer camp. Mobile is about 2 hours from New Orleans. And somebody said, well, hey, we've got a day off. Let's go to New Orleans. Now, I was a Tennessee boy. I'd only left Tennessee maybe once in my life. This was like number two. And I said, well, I've never been to New Orleans. That could be fun. They took me to Beale Street. Now, when I got out of the car, and if y'all have ever been there, I mean, there's all kinds of tarot reading stuff. There's just, it was the first time in my life I could honestly feel evil. And I got out and I went, oh. Now, I think the reason I can feel it is I just spent 8 weeks teaching about Jesus Christ to teenagers, seeing God do miraculous, I think I can even say it in that situation, miraculous things in some teenager's life. And so I was coming from here, and all of a sudden I entered into here, and I just went, ooh, you know, I had that goose flesh go all over. I didn't know what I was dealing with. So you know what I did? Ignored it. I said, let's go get some Benoits or beignets or whatever them things are. Little sugar things. Oh, those are good. I guess that's a demon, too. I need to remember that. Now, I ignored the feeling because I didn't know what it was and I didn't know how to handle it. And here's what I want to say to you today, that you have the authority to cast out darkness in situations. But so many times, we don't understand what that means, so we just ignore it. And we ignore it, and we ignore it, and ignore it. And it's like, I went into this Dollar General store when me and Rebecca were, I can't remember where we were, but it was the funniest thing. I walked in, and there was this sound. Beep, 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 beep. Just going on constantly. And so, you know, I get my stuff. Beep, beep, beep. And you know, I go up to the front. Beep, beep. I said, is there something broken here? And she said, what? I said, that beeping. Oh, she said, it's always like that. She said, that broke like 2 years ago. And I just, seriously? And she said, yeah. And I looked at the lady beside me. Yeah, it's always going off. And they had actually just got used to it. They had actually, instead of fixing it, they got used to beep, beep, just all the time. That's the way it is. That's us. There is a constant beep of danger in our lives. A constant thing where God's saying, we're in danger. There is a spiritual battle going on, and we are deaf to it. We've got so used to hearing it. Listen, if we're going to defeat this, we have to understand we have the authority. God is a miraculous God who gave us authority over darkness, and we have to remember it. We've got to remember it every day. We're so focused on just getting through the week, paying the bills, the dishes, the yard work, not hurting our kids. we're too busy to recognize that we have spiritual opposition. So here's what I want you to do today, this week. First thing I want you to do, don't assume every problem is a result of demonic influence. Don't do that. Don't go out of here and just say every problem. Don't do that. But do this. Don't assume that any problem isn't. Don't just ignore any problem. At least have that flag go off that says, is this a demonic problem? I always say this. I said, if I ever say the words weird, wow, that was weird. That was weird that I just read this person's name and suddenly, you know, in my Facebook feed, and then suddenly I see them at the grocery store. That's weird. You know, that's weird that, you know, we were just talking about that last night and now here it's happening. That's weird. Anytime I hear myself say in my mind or out loud, that's weird, the first thing I think of, oh, it's something spiritual going on. Because why would something unnatural happen? So if you start going through everything, going, not every problem is demonic influence, but I'm not going to assume that any problem isn't. This is what I want to do. When you have a problem, here's two things to do. First, do what's natural. Secondly, fight against spiritual forces of darkness. So if you're sick, what's natural? What's smart to do? Go to the doctor. Don't go, this is demonic, and I'm staying home from the doctor. Do what's natural, but at the same time, pray with all authority that if this is a supernatural problem, for God to deliver you from it. Do both. If you're battling anxiety, get the medicine, but pray in the name of Jesus Christ for healing. If you're emotionally suffering, get counseling, but have someone pray for deliverance from demonic activity. If your child is rebelling, take their phone away. That works, trust me. But while you're taking their phone away and monitoring their friends, pray every night as hard as you can for spiritual protection for your children. The beeping is going off, and we're letting our kids walk right into it. If you're battling alcohol, go to AA. But ask for supernatural victory over it. I heard a pastor one time, he said he was down in Hawaii with his wife. He had a conference he was speaking at in Hawaii. I'm going, where's mine? I got invited last summer to Louisiana. I love Louisiana. Don't get me wrong, Louisiana people. I'm just saying Hawaii. Anyway, he's in Hawaii with his wife. And now he's just a Baptist type preacher. You know, he doesn't come from one of the super Pentecostal churches or something. But he said he's on the beach. He'd finished the day. He said it was like 4 or 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock. I don't remember what time he said. But he said he's on the beach. And he said suddenly he just had a prompting from the Spirit to call this guy named Ethan. And he said he turned to his wife and he said, I just had the weirdest thought. There it is, weird. I just had the weirdest thought. He said, I need to call Ethan. But he said, my phone is up in the hotel room. She said, no. She said, don't you ignore something that God has prompted you to do. And so he got up, walked up to the room, got his phone, called Ethan. Now what he forgot was that there's a time difference between Hawaii and I think he's from Oklahoma. And so, although it was like 4 or 5 or whatever there in Hawaii, it was almost midnight where he was calling. And so he said, as he's calling his friend on the phone, and this friend had been going through a lot of trouble, and he's thinking, maybe I just need to pray for him. He said his friend answered the phone, and he looked down, his friend just saw who it was, and he said, why are you calling now? Craig said, I just felt prompted to call. He said, I forgot about the time difference. He said, no. He said, why are you calling right now? He said, suddenly it hit him that there was a time thing. There was a thought behind this very moment. And he said, as he just started praying in his spirit, he knew his friend had been going through some horrible times, had made some horrible mistakes. His life was going to be forever changed because of some choices he had made. And he said, Ethan, are you thinking about hurting yourself? His friend said, yeah. He said, are you thinking about committing suicide? Ethan said, yeah. He said, do you have a gun in your hand right now? Ethan said, yeah. And he said, I want you to hear me. He said, Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy you. And there's a spiritual battle going on. But he said, I want you to know that God loves you so much that he prompted me to this very moment to call you. And he said he was able to talk him into walking next door neighbor's house where he could be with somebody. And as this preacher was telling that story, he said today there's Ethan is in church with his family, and he wouldn't have been. He heard the prompting. What Craig knew and what we know is not every situation is demonic, but there's not any situation that might not be. And we need to be listening for the prompting of God. Are you listening for the prompting of God? Is God going to prompt you today? Maybe while you're here. Is he saying, you need to go and talk to Eric. You need to go and talk. To one of the staff, or maybe it's a person here. Maybe the Spirit is telling you, go and talk to that person and just hug them and tell them you love them. And you might go, that's silly. And what that is there's a spiritual battle going on. And if you'll just listen to the prompting of God and enter into it, then suddenly you're going to see stuff. As I was preparing for this, I'm going, how much am I missing? How much am I missing because I'm just so attuned to everything of this physical world? Because I'm not resting. How many things am I missing where God's prompting me to call that person, to say something? When Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated darkness. Y'all know what darkness is? Darkness isn't the opposite of light. Y'all know that? Darkness is what? The absence of light. You live in a world where people's lives are in darkness. And it's not the opposite. It's that there's no light coming in. And if you would take that light that's in you, because Jesus was the light of the world, and Jesus now dwells within you. In John 1:5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The only way that darkness wins is if light doesn't enter. But one candlelight in a dark room, there's no more darkness. Listen, if you're dealing with a spouse problem, husbands, wives, if you're dealing with an addiction problem, if you're dealing with children problems, if you're dealing with whatever it is, realize it could be a spiritual battle. And say this, say, I take authority over this darkness in the name of Jesus and bring light into it. Because greater is the one who is in you than the one that is in the world. You're not fighting for victory, folks. You're fighting from victory. Jesus has already defeated that. But we kind of think we're on our own. I'm going to end with Ephesians 6:12 in the New Living Translation. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of this unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil, and then after the battle, you will be still standing firm. Today, are any of y'all battling a spiritual problem in your life? As I've talked, have things come to your mind of going, well, I haven't given that to God. I haven't asked in Jesus' name for God to work on that. I haven't even considered that possibility. What I want to do right now is I want to pray for you with every head bowed. If you're one of those people I'm talking about, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, I ask you to dynamically enter that situation. God, for health problems right now, God, I just ask that you would just, in your way, God, just enter into that sickness, into that health. And Father, if this is some kind of demonic problem, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to cast that out. God, if there are broken marriages here today, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask Satan to leave your children alone. God, right now, if there's financial problems, if there's things where we've made some choices, we've opened the door for Satan to come into our financial or into our marriage. God, I ask you to give us the wisdom to see that Satan still kills and destroys. God, slam that door shut in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.